With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Howdy, third hour, final segment. Well, final hour, not final segment. Final hour of the show here before we get into the weekend. Oh, big plans for the weekend. Maybe take a walk around the block. Maybe if I'm feeling really rambunctious, take a lap around the yard. Tiki and Tierney Company from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio, who understands it's not just a mortgage, but it is your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Great show today so far, TK. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. I agree with you. Chris, it was interesting.
Yes.
You know, like, for those who don't know the story, he had like some weird drug test where he used someone else's urine and he got suspended for the season, and obviously Coach Ogeron wasn't happy about it and suspended him for the whole year, which, you know, in a place like LSU, as we talk about with their defensive, like, proficiency, you could get put suspended for a year. You could be gone, like, lost. Not that, you know, you're going to lose your scholarship or anything of that nature, but you get replaced. Someone comes, you get recruited over, and you never get another opportunity. But he worked his way back, and I think a lot of it has to do with his size. He's prototypical for, the modern corner in the National Football League. 6 foot, almost 200 pounds. He's aggressive. Ran a 4.4 6.40 at the combine. So he's got the speed. He's got the size. He's going to help somebody, I think, right away.
Yep. And he's going to go in the first round for sure.
Yep.
All right, let's do a little baseball here, T. Major League Baseball and the Players Association reached an agreement on what are obviously key economic issues, obviously trying to salvage the majority of whatever they can squeeze out of the 162-game season, even if this means by extending certainly into late November and, I guess, by extension, possibly early December. This was between baseball and the Association of Players, Major League Baseball owners. Nice to see voted unanimously today to ratify the union agreement. So, there's a couple of things that are bullet points here. The deal is now a commitment from baseball and the players to play as close to a full regular season schedule as possible. As I said, with games in October, regular season games, and then a postseason in November. The two sides say they want to play at least 100 games, and they're obviously going to have to find a way to do some doubleheaders, possibly probably weekly. They're okay with that. I know they also discussed the idea of expanding the current playoff format to help offset what's going to be a pretty dramatic loss of income. And then obviously, and you and I talked about this, if this continues to go deep into the fall and possibly early into the winter, as I think we all expect it will, based on the cold weather, which becomes an issue in the Northeast and other spots as you get that deep into the calendar year, they are amenable to moving the World Series and the playoff series from cold weather cities to a neutral site. I love it. Finally, some solidarity. Everybody's unified. I love this by baseball.
Yeah, well, I love this because it seems like they're finally getting something right. And look, we didn't know that they were having these conversations because they kept them all under the radar, kept them quiet. But they came to consensus as a union, as a league, and came up with a game plan. And I think that's a smart way to go about this. We know that, you know, these are billionaires from the ownership side, and, you know, talking to a lot of millionaires. Not all of them are millionaires, obviously, in Major League Baseball, because there's some you know, players with service time that haven't gotten paid yet, but still, you don't want that perception to be out there. Like, you're bickering about little things that in the larger scheme don't mean something. So the fact that they got this done quietly without really any public bickering. In fact, we didn't know about it until it dropped this.
Until Jeff Passan told us.
Exactly. Until Jeff Passan told us. I think it's great. I think it's probably the best thing that Rob Manfred has gotten done in the last 6 months.
Yep.
So great job by Major League Baseball getting this worked out and having a plan going forward. Because the last thing you don't need is to be waffling around and saying, like he did at the start of this coronavirus epidemic at the time, now pandemic, yeah, we'll be back in a couple of weeks. It just didn't make sense. Now he's making sense.
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you, you know, compared to the NBA and eventually the NHL, baseball players, for all the, now football's a little different just based on the sheer ferocity of the sport. You know, if you have a really condensed training camp or if you've got to squeeze in games unconventionally, I don't think that they would say, well, you know, it's so late, let's play the full 16 game slate, so you'll play every 3 days. That's obviously unrealistic. There's no way that would happen.
Yeah.
But baseball, there were some impediments here that really could have gone awry and led to some contentious negotiations that to Tiki's point were quietly and thankfully very effective. A very nice job by baseball here. But there's a couple of things. Number one, as much as, you know, anybody who played baseball as a kid, even if you stopped, you know, after the eighth grade, you played doubleheaders, man. I mean, playing doubleheaders was part of the deal, and it was awesome. You know, you suck down a Gatorade and a hot dog in between the doubleheader, and you go and you play for a couple of hours. But to do so at the major league level and to have the players okay with that, which they are, is, I don't want to say if it's fully a surprise. I don't know if I want to quite say that, but it's refreshing. And the biggest thorn, I thought, in the side of these negotiations would be the fact that the service time issue, and the two sides agreed that if there's a season, the length doesn't matter. Any season at all, players would receive, and this is more on baseball and the owners, obviously, but the players would receive credit for a full year as if it was 162 regular season games. And that was a point of contention, or at least it may have been. But if the season's canceled, they'll still receive 4% of their pay, if I have that part right. But they'll also have the same service time that they accrued in 2019,
yeah,
which would mean Mookie Betts could be a free agent again without ever getting in the batter's box for the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's a small thing, but it's a big thing. And you know, look, the Mookie Betts of the world are the forward-facing examples that you point out to, because he is on a one-year, you know, kind of get to, you know, you got through arbitration and now you're going to be a free agent. He's the forward-facing one. But there's a ton of other players who are just waiting for that opportunity to get a little bit of money, not even like a lot like Mookie's going to get, but just a little bit. Let me get a real deal as opposed to these league minimums, which is nothing to slouch at, you know, to scoff at. But still, I think that was the hugest part for a lot of these players. And we're starting to see, you know, over the last couple of years, if you're good enough, I mean, that doesn't really matter, like the service time, because they'll sign you to a long-term deal before you get close to arbitration.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was smart that they, again, at the end of the day, I'm surprised that it came out this seamlessly, but I'm glad that it did for Major League Baseball's sake. The last thing that they needed was more contention given what's happened with the Astros cheating scandal and the still to be determined punishment for the Red Sox cheating scandal.
Yep, and we've seen a few instances here with the within the last certainly 6 months or so, maybe a little bit outside of that. But Acuna, they bought out a bunch of years of his eligibility. The Mets did the same with Jacob DeGrom. Back in the day, the Indians were really pioneers with this in the 90s. Guys like Carlos Baerga. I think they may have done it with Albert Bell. I think they did it with him. But they were definitely one, if not the first franchise to really embrace buying out some years and paying a little bit more up front for the now, while obviously getting more bang for the buck and stretching it on the back end. So, you know, it's an innovative way to do business. I love that baseball is on the same page. Now, this doesn't mean that there's not going to be any bumps in the road, because I still do think that a real pressing point is going to be just how long spring training is.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big one for them.
Well, I mean, because the obvious disconnect would be, Major League Baseball wants to get to money-making activities, and players are going to be worried about health and preparedness. You know, the last thing you need, and look, we go back to some of these free agent conversations. The last thing you need is a guy starting a season horrendously because he's just not prepared. He's been sitting on his couch and trying to play wiffle ball with his kids as a way to get ready for the MLB season. We saw that with Freddie Freeman a couple days ago, crushing a home run off his like 2-year-old.
Oh, I saw that.
It's like, come on, Freddie.
I saw that.
But it's all good. But you know what I mean? It's like that's very different than taking a 95-miler, you know, mid chest level and seeing what you can do with it. So yeah. I agree with you that. Even though that's been, it feels settled, that's still going to be a point of contention when it actually comes up.
That was pretty cool. I saw that in Freddie's yard. If anybody wanted to go check out Freddie Freeman's Instagram account, it was, I believe his son is 3.
Yeah.
A little guy. And yeah, he threw one right around equivalent to Freddie's chin, which is like putting it on a tee for, you know, when it's at that speed. And he just crushed it over the hedges into, it looked like it may have gone 2 yards in the distance there. It was a bomb. And I think his wife was probably filming. That was really cool. The other thing, it is a cool article on CBSSports.com. If you want to go check it out, maybe I'll retweet it from my account, or maybe even Samther can just do it from Tiki and Tierney account. The one thing you have to consider, based on the fact that we're going to lose games here, the MLB shutdown very well might cost several players some historic milestones. Not that they can't get it next year, but mm-hmm. You just never know.
Yeah.
One of whom is Albert Pujols, who was on the precipice of both 700 doubles and 700 home runs. I don't know how many people have actually done that, but the fact that there's only 3 players with 700 home runs, I don't know if Babe Ruth has. Matter of fact, I don't think anybody does.
Yeah.
Hold on.
That's a good point. And the thing with Pujols is
no, they don't.
He's not young. He's getting old. He's like another year. Mm-hmm. He's gonna wait.
He's 40.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like you're 41, dude. You might not be able to do this if you don't do it for this season.
And he's had some heel issues that have impacted him. Yeah, Tris Speaker has 793 doubles. Pete Rose has 746. Stan the Man Musial 725, and Ty Cobb 724. So none of the players with 700 home runs, Bonds, Aaron, and obviously Babe Ruth at 714, have the requisite amount of doubles to be in that club. That's a club I have not heard referenced very often at all. The 700 club. Another one is Justin Verlander's pursuit of 300 wins eventually. You know, he's 37. Didn't he just have surgery, Verlander? Mm-hmm. He had a little something on a hernia? What did Verlander have?
I think it was core. I can't remember now what it was, but I was actually surprised because we hadn't heard of it. But yeah, there's something that he's dealing with right now.
I know there was a projection that would have him pitching up until the age of 45 to get to the 300 mark. Remember, he's 75 wins away, and even though he plays for a good team, things could change quickly. So,
groin,
you know,
yeah, it was a groin beat.
It was the groin. Okay, and you know, listen, CC doesn't have 300, nope. And you know, a lot of players. Jim Cott has, I want to say, maybe 287 ish. Tommy John is just sort of 300. Just because you get in the neighborhood of 300 doesn't mean that you get there. Robinson Cano, part of the CBSSports.com article, is somebody else who might, in terms of 3,000 hits, it might obviously be a bit of a stumbling block there. It's a good article. I mean, Miguel Cabrera, 2,000 ribbies, and that's a small club. I'd have to double check this, but you're talking about, I know for sure, Hank Aaron's got little less than 2,300. Babe Ruth has 2,200. A-Rod's over that. And Albert Pujols went over that a year ago. I believe there's only 4 members in the 2000 RBI club. And, you know, let's face it, Miggy Cabrera is one of the best right-handed hitters we've ever seen. So, you know, I'd like to see him get there. I think he's got about 1,700, so he's going to need at least. Well, I mean, I don't know. Is he going to get? Yeah, he should get there.
Didn't it feel like he fell, really quickly?
He did. He did. Well, no. Not really quickly. It was when he fell hard.
Yeah.
He didn't fall when he was 32.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, there was a season, I forget what it was, 3 years ago?
Yeah, right around there.
Still felt like he was one of the better hitters in baseball.
No doubt.
And all of a sudden, it was like, you don't even want to put him at the plate. So it just happens. And so we look at Verlander trying to get to 300 and and Pujols and Miggy, it's once you hit a certain age, your body just doesn't do it as well, period.
No, you're right. And T, to your point, I guess it would have been 2015 where he led the league in batting at 338.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of years.
We're talking about the Triple Crown. I remember this.
Well, he won a Triple Crown.
That's
he
what
got
I mean.
A Triple Crown.
That's right.
And a couple of years before that, he hit 348, which led, boy, it's amazing. Not to get too numbers statty here, geeky, but I mean, that's why when I say he's one of the best right-handed hitters of all time, that's incontestable. I mean, he hit from 2011, forget about what he did before this, which was pretty damn good as well, 339, 320, 324. From 2011, from the ages of 28 through 32, he hit 334, 330, 348, 313, and 338. And this is a guy who never beat out a broken bat, you know, five hopper to shortstop because he couldn't run a lick.
Yeah.
He was, Miggy's great. And then he had the bad year in 2017. He was below 250. His OPS was like 730, but he came back. You know, he should get there. He's got how many RBIs? Hold on, let me see if I can find. He's got 1,700. He'll get there. I believe he will get there. He's 36. He's got a couple more years in him. All right, Teak. Let's get a little break. Coming up next, let's stick with the baseball though. John Morosi is going to join us and. He's solid. Great baseball voice. Great perspective on the game. John's MLB Network and Fox Sports MLB Insider. As get a little bit of a deeper look into baseball's plan for the season with John. That's next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This was definitely popping them back. This is like synonymous with Jägermeister shots. This was a college bar song. This was what was the video with the bumblebee? Right? Why do I remember that? Who the heck sings this song? Blind Melon. Never one of my favorites, admittedly, but that's all right. I'm not going to make a big sting. Certainly something I do remember. Teak, you remember the song? Do you remember this?
Yeah, of course I do.
All right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. So whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. So pretty pivotal moment for baseball. As they agree to a multitude of things that could have really disrupted harmony within the Players Association, MLB, the ratification today by the owners unanimously, which is a great sign. Many stipulations for the return of the 2020 season. And to get into that and throw a few darts at the board and maybe get a sense of maybe when we actually get back on the field, John Morosi, MLB Network and Fox Sports MLB Insider. John, Tiki and Tierney, how you doing today, buddy?
Brandon Tiki, great to be with you guys today. Just love what you're doing with the show to keep the conversation going around our country and keep us all together here as we get through this as one nation here. But it's just great to be with you guys today.
Thanks, man. How are you piecing your day? Before we actually jump into the baseball content, how are you piecing your days together? Do you have kids or what are your days like, man?
Sure. Well, we've been pretty busy, actually. So I've got three daughters, and they're keeping us busy here with the homeschool in Michigan.
Yeah.
And my wife is actually a doctor, so her her job right now certainly on any day of my entire life is more important than what I'm doing. But certainly right now, it's by many orders of magnitude more important than what I'm doing. So really, guys, to be honest, I'm certainly staying abreast of what's going on in baseball. But really, my biggest job is as a dad and as a husband to support her and the incredible work that she's doing at the hospital. As we've seen all around our country, doctors, nurses, first responders, everybody involved at keeping our grocery stores open. They're all under a lot of stress right now, so I think it's up to us to support them all. And
yep.
So really, I'm just trying to support my wife, and certainly Michigan's having a tough time right now, as you probably know, with coronavirus. So just
yes.
trying to support my fellow Michiganders and keep our state going, keep our nation going, and certainly at the house as well, keeping those kids as energetic as we can. And day by day, guys, we're going to get through this.
That's what matters. God bless your wife and the entire medical community. So even with that being said, let's dive into a few of these baseball issues and get a sense of what you think and get a sense of did anything surprise you that what was agreed upon seemingly very swiftly, in unison? I'm sure there were some quiet objections, but it seemed to get done very fast here. Was there anything that you thought would be more of an impediment than it actually was?
Well, I think to me, Brandon, the key thing was that part of this agreement involves players getting the full year of service time, even if they even if there's no season in 2020. So, for example, if you played a full year in the major leagues last year, you would get a full season of service time this year, which for a lot of teams, you think about the Dodgers and Mookie Betts, they just traded for him. And if there was no season at all, then obviously Mookie, after all that trade, would never even get a chance to play a game for the Los Angeles Dodgers before free agency. So that to me was a very dramatic part of this agreement and gesture by MLB. What I hope it signals to all of us is that MLB and the union are confident that it's not going to get to that point, that we're going to see baseball played here in 2020. Of course, none of us really knows that for sure. It depends upon the public health experts and the government officials. But in general, that was both, I think, a very bold move by MLB to be okay with that, but perhaps also part of that bold move was a certain confidence that we're going to see baseball back this year. And I think the commissioner yesterday, in speaking to MLB Network, he seemed, I think, confident with the belief that baseball is going to come back this year here in 2020. He didn't say that explicitly, but I really got that sense through his calmness and his conviction that we're going to see baseball here this year and that it's going to be a really big part of the healing process.
Nice.
For our country. Because one thing that and we can all wonder, how many fans will there be in the stands? Will senior citizens be staying away out of caution? That may be the case, and we have to wait until that happens before we make that judgment. But the key thing that we know about baseball, guys, is that we play it every day, and there is a routine to it. And right now, for all of us around the country, we want our routines back so badly. And if that means that no matter if your team's in first place or last place, but that if you turn on the TV at 7 o'clock in the evening in July or August and your team is playing, there's going to be a lot of comfort there. So I think that Commissioner Manfred realizes that, and I hope that that's eventually where we get as a country and as a sport here by the middle part of summer.
So we're talking to John Morosi, MLB Network, Fox Sports, MLB Insider. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network.
Now, John, the commissioner said, you know, pretty explicitly, we're unlikely to have a 162-game season. That's not going to happen, but doubleheaders may be a big part of this. So the question is, you know, how doable is this on a regular basis, and what toll, if there is one, will it take on the players?
Well, thinking that's a great point about the toll on the players and how it's all going to work, because one of the other aspects, in addition to possible doubleheaders, is possible games in front of no fans. If, for example, the game is being played in a city where there's an outbreak of coronavirus that maybe spikes back up in the summer, late summer, early fall, whenever it would be. So that is one consideration. The other part is, if it gets really bad in a particular city, do you move those games to a neutral site, maybe down to a spring training location, in effect to try to constantly stay a step ahead of the virus, or just kind of avoid it as best you can? Obviously, it's everywhere in our country right now, but maybe there are some areas where they are more badly affected than others, and that could possibly be the case during the course of the later summer as well. The thing about the doubleheaders, Tiki, and it's a really fair point that you make about the toll on the players, the other part about it that I wonder is, if you're in a spot where, let's say you're in a given city for a week, and you have a doubleheader on Sunday and maybe another doubleheader on Friday. Well, let's say, for the sake of argument, that city experiences a flare-up of the coronavirus right around that time. Then instead of having to reschedule six or seven games, it's nine games. And then it's even more of a headache on the scheduling. So I think all of those things have to be taken into consideration, the welfare of the players, travel issues. I think one thing that when you really look at the big picture here, we all love, at least I love, interleague play. I think it's a great part of the schedule that injects a lot of intrigue and freshness to the schedule. Maybe this is a year, because of the reduced number of games, Tiki, where we get to a spot where we're only playing in our league, and maybe even within that, a little more tighter to your geographic region, just to kind of minimize the amount of cross-country travel that you've got. If you're playing in the Northeast, you could take a train or a bus to a lot of your games. Maybe that's for the better right now. And I think that all of those factors, the players' wishes, I think they've got to be taken into consideration. And overall, guys, I'm very encouraged that this agreement happened with what appears to me to be a real minimal amount of rancor, where this was really done collaboratively, which I think is a great sign, considering just where we're at as a country, to just get the game back on the field as soon as we possibly can within the public health parameters.
John, explain something to me here. I've been very critical, many people have, Rob Manfred the past, you know, 4 or 5 months. I think he's been all over the map, sloppy, poor messaging, all that stuff that we've all said. And I think there's a chance now, as he admitted with Scott Van Pelt the other night, he said, you know, listen, I've come to my conclusion with the Red Sox. I just haven't had a chance to sit down and write the report. And I'm going to take him at his word there. There's obviously more pressing concerns right now. But don't you think it behooves baseball to drop this whenever they can get around to it within the next week or two, presumably? Drop the punishment for the Red Sox, okay? Let it blend into the woodwork of the coronavirus, of the stagnation of sports. This way, when you start the season, it's not sabotaging the enjoyment of the start of the season. Do it now and just let it dissipate.
Yeah, that's a very fair point, Brandon. And I think given the fact that now there is a plan in place for what the return to play is going to look like, and we know that, for example, given the CDC's most recent guidelines about limiting crowds of more than 50 people, which is almost limiting any workout of a major league enterprise when you consider the number of players and coaches and staff members. So that's not going to happen until the middle part of May at the earliest. So if that's the case, then you're right. And now that the agreement's in place for the return to play protocol and the service time issues and all those sorts of things, really now the important thing for the MLB to do is to wait until the CDC gives clearance, which is, to your point, it's going to be more than a month away right now. So I think that now that the hard work of negotiating with the union is behind MLB, they've got a plan now, that's in place. I would expect that we will see in the next week to 10 days the announcement regarding the Red Sox one way or the other, simply because the commissioner now has the time and the bandwidth to do it. I think that it would have almost seemed out of step to announce it in the middle of all these talks with the union. Now that this has been wrapped up here in the last 24 hours, I think, to your point, Brandon, it's a very appropriate time to roll out that notice on the Red Sox. And then, to your point, it'll probably, on some level, by the time we start to return to play, it'll become less of a story a month or 6 weeks from now.
Real quickly, before we let you go here, John, how is free agency going to work this year?
It's a very fair question, and I think that we'll have to see how the schedule goes. I saw a report from Bob Nightingale that we could still see baseball being played well into November, maybe even close to Thanksgiving, likely on a neutral site. So if that's the case, it bumps everything back from a standpoint of the winter meetings and free agency timeline, with an earlier spring training than usual next year for what remains the scheduled 2021 World Baseball Classic. So it's the offseason's being compressed, Tiki, at a time when there already was not a lot of wiggle room for baseball in the winter of 2020-2021.
Wow. Now there's definitely a lot of juggling going on, no doubt. John, great spot. MLB Network, Fox Sports, MLB Insider, John Morosi. Best to your wife. Thank her for all of us and all of her medical brethren and hanging there with the little girls, man. By the way, how old are the girls? I meant to ask you before. What are your daughter's age?
They're 7, 5, and 2. So it's a pretty high energy house,
nice,
to say the very least.
Okay.
So it's a lot of fun. We talk a little bit of sports, guys, but certainly a lot of other topics around the house these days as well. And thanks so much for the well wishes. Just we all just got to keep our social distance and give my wife and her colleagues the best chance to do their best work. And that's all we can do right now. But we appreciate those sentiments very much here at our house. Thanks so much, guys, for everything.
But I've got a recommendation for you, because I know you're searching like movies, and this is for our audience as well. My daughter is 3. My little guy turned 5 in January, so they're both pretty young. We watched E.T. last night.
Nice.
And it was awesome. And it was – I'm so happy we did it. I mean, that's our – that was 83. Depending upon how old you are, I mean, obviously, it was my generation for sure, Tiki. Yeah. John, I'm not sure how old you are, but that's a movie that
it
holds up. It connects. It's great.
That's great.
If you're looking,
I love that. ET, that's a great recommendation. That's going to be on our list for the weekend. And you're right, Brandon and Tiki. It's all about right now telling stories, sharing stories with family, perspective that we're going to get through this. And we're going to emerge better on the other end of it. But for now, we just got to support everybody that's going through it in a real rough way right now. So just got to stick together. But thanks so much for your sentiments.
You got
and
it,
a great
buddy.
Recommendation of E.T. We'll screen it this weekend at the Morosi household. Thanks for that.
Be well, John. Thank you.
You too. Thanks so much, guys.
John Morosi, MLB Network and Fox Sports MLB Insider. Good stuff. Coming up next, a little blast for you. This will be part of it. The NCAA lost a lot of money canceling the Big Dance. So what will it mean for the schools? We'll tackle that coming up next here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right. Take care of a little business here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Before we get to the blast,
Let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Eric Rolini at E. Ruddle. And Eric wants to know, is AB going to play this upcoming season? And what team do you think is most likely to take the chance?
Go ahead, T. Is he going to play this upcoming season? I actually don't think he's going to. I really don't. I'm going to say no, T. I don't think people are willing to take a shot at him right now. They really, there's too many other options. There's young kids coming in, and other ones just don't want that detriment in your locker room. And as BT mentioned in our first segment of our show, he's really, really got to change and get some help for himself. Otherwise, no one's going to believe he's changed for the better.
Yep, I obviously agree based on what I said to start the show. But, you know, the fact that he has not fired back at Bruce Arians when he was so confrontational and so quick to battle, whether it was Big Ben, didn't matter who it was, even if he didn't really cross him, he was calling you out. It seems like he's trying to cultivate, craft a new image. Whether or not that's going to work remains to be seen. I wouldn't touch him. I wouldn't touch him. But you never know. But it's going to be not going to be easy, that's for sure. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. All right, Teak, you ready to get to a little blast here? See what Santa cooked up?
I am. Let's hit it.
All right.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Was that a new insert? I think I haven't heard that buzzer. Was that new? Was that new?
No, I don't think so. I think it's always been there.
That sounded different for some reason. Huh. Maybe it just sounds different to me. I don't know. All right. The Chicago Bears have been widely criticized for giving tight end Jimmy Graham a 2-year, $9 million guaranteed deal this offseason. And Graham defended himself. Quote, I'm still fast. I still have the ability to make big plays. End quote. Do we agree?
I mean, can he make some plays here and there? Yeah, but fast is relative, and I think impact is more important. It's not about making big plays. It's how impactful you're going to be. And last year, we just didn't see it. And he was playing with one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL last season. So he only had 38 receptions, only 3 touchdowns. Can he be impactful? I don't think so. Can he be useful? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you want to chuck him in the you know, in the red zone, you know, maybe if you've got a multitude of weapons and he's your fourth guy and you can find a defensive matchup that you could exploit, I mean, maybe. But the truth of the matter is, I mean, Jimmy Graham really has not had the career people probably perceive him to have had. I mean, it's very top-heavy. He was great with the Saints in year 2, obviously. Year 3 was good. Year 4 was terrific. And then there was the slow drop-off. I know he had 10 touchdowns with Seattle a couple of years ago. But and I, listen, you really can't qualify. 10 touchdowns is still 10 touchdowns. I need to be fair. But, you know, very few catches. Yards were relatively pedestrian, 520. I don't see it. I mean, it would have to be the right spot, and it would be intermittent flashes. That's what you get at this point. All right, Teak. ESPN's Kirk Herbstreit. We love Herbie. He says, quote, I'll be shocked. Oh, I don't know if I love this. I'll be shocked if we have NFL football this fall. What?
What?
If we have college football. I will be so surprised if that happens. End quote. Ooh.
Wow.
Is Herbie closer to being right than he is being wrong? Well, first of all, nobody knows. I mean, you know, you've got the most intelligent minds in the world that don't know. I mean, Kirk Herbstreit's smart, but he's not a doctor. I mean, he doesn't know. I appreciate his candor. We've had him on the show every year at Army-Navy. I'm sincerely a big fan. I think he's great in the booth. I think he's terrific. I think he comes across as so genuine and likable. And obviously smart. He's just a good dude. You have a beer with him. You know that it'd be a good time. I like Kirby. I can't fault him for this opinion. I'm not going to say that he's crazy or that it's irresponsible. It's one of the first times I've really heard this from somebody of prominence. But I can't answer if he's right or wrong. He's right for him. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to be right. I think, you know, even if it's a truncated preseason and it gets delayed by a couple of weeks, I think football is going to happen, especially in the NFL. On the college level, It's a little bit different, especially with the, you know, the budget cut, which we'll get to in our next question, BT. But I'm going to say I think he's closer to being wrong than right.
You know, yes, and just a subset to that real quickly here before I actually get to the third one is that, you know, the different dilemma for college, at least with the NFL, you can ease in and play a couple of the practice games. Granted, nobody wants to play those, and obviously you want to keep your stars out of harm's way as much as possible. But if the college offseason, and it's going to be, is radically overhauled and compromised or threatened or a little bit of everything, I mean, those first couple of games, you could have some wild upsets just due to a lack of preparation and preparedness. I don't know. So that's something to consider. At least the NFL has the laboratory of preseason games if they need it. But anyway, the NCAA cuts distribution to Division I schools by $375 million. What will the trickle-down effect be?
A lot. A lot of smaller sports programs are going to be underfunded or not funded at all, which is not going to bode well for those programs. Just for some perspective here, the NCAA, as we all know, is a $1 billion revenue-producing entity, but almost 90% of that comes from the men's Division I NCAA basketball tournament, which obviously didn't happen this year. As a result, teams used to getting $600 million, or schools used to getting $600 million, instead got $225 million. So the impact is going to be hard and fast on the smaller programs, smaller in the non-marquee sports at those programs. This could be devastating for some university sports teams.
I disagree. Division I, it's obviously not a good thing. That goes without saying. But Division I athletic departments generally receive between 2 and 5% of their total operating revenue from the NCAA, which is in the form of reimbursements and payments for hosting championships and various issues like that. So it's not like it makes up 50% or 20% or even 15%. There's enough wiggle room when it only encompasses 2 to 5%. What I'm confused about is that there's actually, and I didn't know this until I read it this morning, there's actually insurance in the case of a calamity and something being canceled in totality. And I believe the NCAA, I don't have the number in front of me, but I believe I read this morning that they get back $270 million based on that insurance aspect. So why the
270 of 900, 800 million? You know what
yeah.
I mean? It's still a...
Yeah, but it's still 270 more than I thought they would have gotten at all.
Yeah. Oh, I hear you. So you're talking about from that standpoint.
Yeah.
I hear you. I know what you're saying.
I didn't know that there was insurance for that. That's pretty wild, you know?
Yeah, and the other thing you got to think about is that schools are also not making the same amount of revenues, especially with students not being there. So it's not just the NCAA giving them money. Their regular forms of revenue generation aren't operating right now either.
All right, UFC's, we were texting about this. UFC's John Bones Jones arrested again. Get a clue. Wake up. Arrested again this week for alleged DWI. I believe I read that, fire use or had a gun and a negligent use of a firearm. At this point, does the UFC have to ban him? Teak?
I mean, it's less about the UFC to me.
Yeah.
It's more about, he's a detriment to society.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't get how you keep having the same mistake over and over and over again. If his license isn't, permanently, and that's obviously not permanently, but you know what I mean, permanently revoked after this is, the third or fourth time, something's not clicking in this guy's head. He doesn't get it, and that's not good for him or society.
It's a big problem. He doesn't get it at all. He just doesn't get it. He just keeps going back to the well. And he does not care about repercussions. Either he doesn't care or he believes he's immune, which, I mean, when you keep getting arrested, you should know that you're not immune to it. Maybe immune to real serious bodily harm upon yourself. He thankfully has avoided that so far. But, I mean,
that's just dumb luck, though.
I hear you. And that obviously runs out if you keep pressing that clearly. He's got real problems, and I thought I heard a great analogy today, or maybe it was last night, Ariel Helwani. Yeah, it was last night, because Ariel was on with Scott Van Pelt, and he said, really, he's the UFC's version of Daryl Strawberry or Doc Gooden, or both.
Wow.
Where, and I don't really think I need to even, explain that. I mean, baseball fans know what Doc and Daryl were, and they know what they could have been. And I think we're starting to say the same thing about John Bones Jones, who just keeps sabotaging his own career. And that's all there is to it. All right, the Kentucky Derby has been pushed back to September 5th. Mm. Oh, jeez. Wow, now, that really, that has impact on me. That's the day that I met Jen. That's our big weekend, man. That's why Colton's name is Colt. You know, a horse. I mean, there's a lot of aspects of the Derby that pertain to our family and at least how I met my wife here. So September, that sucks. But the Florida Derby will be scheduled, will be held tomorrow. What? Irresponsible. Will we be watching? Will we be watching the Florida Derby? Not one second. Will I be watching the Kentucky Derby? It's going to be on a Saturday, not a Sunday. Well, listen, no matter when it is, we carve out time in our house. As I said, it's great symbolism behind it, and we always do something cool, and now we incorporate the kids. So, yes, we will watch it. I wouldn't want to be, you know, counting on great ratings when you're going up against the SEC, if you are going up against the SEC or the Big Ten or the Big 12. So that's a problem, Cheek.
Yeah, it is. And just for the Florida Derby, which is tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
no fans,
mm-hmm.
no owners allowed at the track, no bets being placed on the site.
Okay.
So what in the hell is the point?
Well, you could certainly bet digitally, so you get something rather than nothing. That's part of the point, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you the qualifications of the Florida Derby. Like, I really don't know. I don't know. So, am I a little – I mean, if there's one sport that you could probably get away with this, it's probably the horse racing.
Yeah.
Probably. Still seems a little dangerous.
No fans, no owners, just the jockeys and the horses.
And what about the trainers? There's got to be trainers on site. God forbid if something goes awry medically.
Yeah, I guess, the trainers as well. But
any broadcasters? Who's carrying the race?
I guess somebody has to.
Somebody's got to be, right?
Otherwise, like, really, what would be the point if it's not on television?
Yeah, I guess you could stick somebody in isolation in a booth up top, and if they don't have a color man, it could just be a play-by-play man, I guess, but... Who the hell knows? I really don't care about the Florida Derby. I'm not going to lie to you. All right, I'm going to go pour myself a scotch. That's what I care about.
Nice. I'll be walking with you as well.
That's right. Keep walking, Johnny. Teak, have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday.
See you, brother.
Everybody, be well and keep a smile. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.